ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 Chapter 14, Text 13, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Krimi vidbhasma nishthantam kvedam tuchham kalevaram kvatadiya ratiya bharya Vayam Atma Nabhaschadihi. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body, because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is the Supreme Being, who is all-pervading like the sky? Purport. Here also the same point is stressed. One should give up attachment for his wife, or in other words, for sex life. If one is intelligent, he can think of his wife's body as nothing but a lump of matter that will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool or ashes. In different societies, there are different ways of dealing with the human body at the time of the funeral ceremony. In some societies, the body is given to the vultures to be eaten, and therefore the body ultimately turns to vulture stool. Sometimes the body is merely abandoned, and in that case, the body is consumed by small insects. In some societies, the body is immediately burned after death, and thus it becomes ashes. In any case, if one intelligently considers the constitution of the body and the soul beyond it, what is the value of the body? Antavanta ime deha nityas yogta sharirinaha. The body may perish at any moment, but the soul is eternal. If one gives up attachment for the body and increases his attachment for the spirit soul, his life is successful. It is merely a matter of deliberation. These are very harsh words, very cruel words from Narad Muni, typical brahmachari, speaking to a householder. Generally we see poetry in Sanskrit poetry or any language poetry. Generally the subject matter is praise of women, especially their beautiful bodies. They will say things like, you have eyes like lotuses and legs like, in Sanskrit they say like an elephant's trunk or like a banana tree. You have a face like the moon. Here it is said that you have a body like vulture stool. So it's a little different. You can imagine if you go to your wife and say, you have a body just like vulture stool. But actually that is the fact. That, as we have many times heard, even Rukmini, who is the most beautiful person in existence, at least outside of Vrindavan, she herself said, of course she was talking about wives choosing husbands, either way, husband being attracted to the body of his wife or wife being attracted to the body of the husband. As Queen Rukmini said, why should any woman be attracted to anyone but you, Krishna? They're simply becoming attracted to a bag full of stool, bones, mucus, pus, blood, decorated with some skin and some tufts of hair called mustaches. So this is a beauty contest. Who has got the most beautiful bag of stool? So this seems to be very harsh, but the reality is harsh. that we are trapped in this material world by Maitun Agara, means the chains of attachment to sex life. And because of this, we have to suffer repeated birth and death. This is typical of the mode of passion, as Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that happiness which seems like nectar at the beginning, but poison at the end, that is happiness in the mode of passion. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that a young man is attracted to a young woman, and it seems so nice in the beginning, it seems just like nectar, just how wonderful, falling in love. We see people when they fall in love, it's as if they're in a different mode of life to everyone else in the world. Everything seems so wonderful, and they can just think of the lover when we can meet again, and whatever they're doing, whether they're walking or talking, even when they're sleeping, all they can think of, how wonderful, the most wonderful thing, that I fell in love with this man or with this woman. But that falling in love, that euphoria of happiness, doesn't last. It lasts for some time so that the attachment is made. But then that attachment becomes the cause of so much distress. One has to work hard to maintain a family. And after some time he finds that euphoria of happiness, of bliss, just like we say, may you enjoy nuptial bliss, that euphoria that passes away. And you see that person who you thought was the most wonderful person, actually they have faults like so many other people, but you have to live with them. So there, that euphoria passes away, and then there's just the grind of material life. And eventually death comes, then you have to be born again to suffer again. So this attachment to the opposite sex is the cause of material bondage. So then we may ask, why is this chapter here in the Bhagavatam at all? Why have a chapter called Ideal Family Life? Would not ideal family life be not to have a family at all? Vasundhaiva kutumbakam. This, for the sannyasi, the whole world is his family. He doesn't have one small family. He sees all living beings in relationship to Krishna, and he has friendly relationship with all of them on the spiritual platform. Then how is it that there is any family life at all? Narad Muni, who is, that I was saying the other day, himself, he went to the Haryashvas and Shavalashvas and told them, don't get married. Come with me, go back to Godhead. But at the same time, he's giving instruction in family life, because it is, as all the four ashrams are, it is essential in human society so that people may be gradually elevated. The whole Vedic culture is meant to gradually elevate everyone to the point of self-realization. It's not possible that everybody, even though the instruction is given here, just see, your body and the body of your wife and the bodies of your children and the bodies of your grandparents, and they're all simply bodies which are to be eaten by worms or vultures or burned. So even hearing that, even understanding that, even being trained as a brahmachari, most people, or at least many people, will opt for family life. Because material attachment is very strong. The family life, ideal family life, means that family life by which we gradually overcome the attachments. This has been discussed in the classes in the previous days. But sometimes it's very confusing how to act within a particular ashram. Just like in brahmachari life, I remember this question was when I was just newly in the temple, joined, that one devotee asked, well, we are brahmacharis, and sometimes we read that brahmacharis, they go begging door to door, and they say, "Mother, please give some alms." And then again we read that woman is the representation of Maya. So are we supposed to see women as Maya or mothers? Actually in Bengali it's the same word. Mayara means our mothers. But it's not exactly connotated in the same way. But how are we to see? Actually, Brahmachari should see all women as mother. But because we have that tendency to want to enjoy, therefore, when that thought comes that now this is a body for me to enjoy, then we should remember that not that we should blame the other party, rather we should blame ourselves for our own perverted vision. But then we should remember the instruction of Shastra, that just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has made this prayer that Kamini Kam Nahi Tavadham. This one name for woman is Kamini, which means who is the object of desire or who increases that desire. So that lust to enjoy the opposite sex, Nahi Tavadham, that is not meant for you. If you have taken to spiritual life, that is not meant for you. We should remember that desire comes, will come, is coming, is always there. But then, as Prabhupada writes here, it is a matter of deliberation. These instructions are given in the scriptures so that we can apply in our lives at every point that it's a matter of deliberation. When that lower nature surfaces, then we should remember, what is my life for? My life is for understanding Krishna. My life is not meant for trying to enjoy that which is not enjoyable, and that which I've anyway tried to enjoy in so many millions of lifetimes. Now we have come to Krishna consciousness, now we should concentrate on Krishna. So that's Brahmachari ashram. Then in Grihastha ashram again there may become confusion. That on the one hand, I have responsibility to wife, children, parents, family, society, so many responsibilities are there. And naturally I feel affection and attachment towards all of these. If the person is not, if he's so unattached, then he wouldn't have got married in the first place. Would it be like the Haryashvas or Shavalashvas? You just go to the forest and be a brahmachari or sannyasi. But because there is some attachment there, and of course, although just like in this verse, the preaching is very strongly against that attachment, at the same time, we can't condemn everybody. Like if you don't take sannyas, then you're completely useless and you're in maya and so many things. But rather we should congratulate that you've taken up this responsible path. Now you're thinking everyone should think very seriously what they're doing with their life, not simply float through life in a whimsical way, but see, what direction is my life going in? How should I live my life in such a way that I can gradually become more and more attached to Krishna? So, entering into family life, that means taking up the responsibility. For a man, it means taking up the responsibility of looking in Krishna consciousness. That means taking up the responsibility of looking after one devotee who has come to Krishna consciousness, who is in female body. In last life, very likely I may have been in a female body. In this life, this spirit soul is in female body. So let me take charge of this one person and take a family, take the responsibility for bringing up children in Krishna consciousness so they may do the greatest service to society by giving the proper example of Krishna consciousness. So the householder, his attitude is different. It's just like sometimes devotees ask, well, I was brahmachari and I was all the time avoiding, mixing up with ladies, mothers, and trying not to think about, I decided I couldn't go through with that for the whole life, so then better I get married and take up responsible life in that way. And all of a sudden, I didn't like to look at or talk at, all of a sudden I'm living with a woman, and I have to, and what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be kind to her or think of her as a lump of walking vulture stool, or what am I supposed to do? And here it tells me not to be attached, but if I wasn't attached, I wouldn't have got married, so what am I supposed to do? What should we do? We cannot deny that attachment, nor can the husband deny the affection that is required within that ashram. It is required for bringing up children. They need to be brought up with affection. It's not that we simply think of them as some kind of byproducts, that they are spirit souls, especially in devotees' homes. We should think, these children are a gift from Krishna. They've been sent to give me some service so that I can train them in Krishna consciousness, show them how to worship Krishna, how to serve Krishna, make me give an ideal example. So if the parents are very affectionate towards their children in Krishna consciousness, then naturally the children, they will develop that also, that feeling of kindness in Krishna consciousness, which is very attractive. We find that devotees who are very affectionate, they're very attractive, and they bring many devotees to join this movement. We have so much philosophy and so much preaching with choppers, that's also required. That's one part of preaching. But I remember one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told me that I had mentioned to him that Saraswati Thakur, he was famous as the lion guru. He was very strong. And then the disciple, he told me, yes, he was very strong, but he was also very affectionate towards his disciples. If not, how could they have all stayed? How could so many people have come to join his mission? Because they're coming, they're mostly all Bengalis. As Prabhupada said, to preach with the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. So Bengali mother generally means affection. Of course, in the modern age, mother can mean your own murderer. That's very common. Kill the child in the womb. But generally when we think of mother, we think of affection. You'll find it, especially in Bengal, everyone, so many people, in their wallet, they all carry a photo of their mother, because they feel that so much affection, the feeling that here is someone who, whatever I do, however good or bad or whatever bad things, however much anyone else may hate me, my mother will always love me. That feeling is there. So to leave an affectionate mother, and so many times it would happen, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the mothers, the parents would come, not only at that time, at this time also. It's a very common syndrome here in India. As soon as someone joins our temple to become a brahmachari, all of a sudden their mother gets a disease by which they're about to die. And the only cure is if their son comes back home. Very unusual disease. It's caused by people giving up their family life and joining Krishna consciousness. Or they're going to commit suicide, or so many different things, unless their son comes. So very affectionate. So many times the sons, their family would all come crying, and the whole family means, not like in the West, mother, father, and two children, but it means uncles, aunts, great uncles, great aunts, and uncles, brothers, second cousin, and you know, half a village, all crying. So Saraswati Thakur would hide them under the bed many times and say, no, he's not here. He said, if we didn't do that, there would be no Gauriya Math. We have to do it. Someone has to be a preacher. So anyway, the point is that such affectionate mother, who could give up only because he was so much affectionate. He gave something that they were feeling that affection, which is after all the affection of Maya. So because he gave them the affection of Krishna, therefore they were able to give that up. But the point I was making is that that affection is required. Otherwise, if people are brought up in a very hard-hearted way, then they become demons. And we see that, people who are brought up with their mother and father is the TV, and they watch six murders a day, and their mother never sees them because she's either at work or out at a party with one of her boyfriends, then naturally the children, they grow up very frustrated, and their heart is very hard. Then the qualities of the demons naturally develop in them. Krodha, Parusham, these are two of the qualities of the demons. Anger, they become very frustrated and very harsh in their behavior. So Krishna conscious family life means that there should be affection there. Not that you can legislate, there should be affection, but at the same time, non-attachment is being preached here. But some attachment must be there, seeing that these children, they are with philosophical understanding, not just in the sentimental, ignorant way that non-devotees bring up their children, that they're having attachment, but simply on the basis of thinking that this body is related to my body, completely in ignorance. So the affection of Krishna conscious parents is the affection of considering that this is also, this child is also spirit soul sent by Krishna. Now let me bring up this child in Krishna consciousness. However, as long as we are not fully purified, then there is a tendency to be materially attached. We see even Kunti Devi, she prayed, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi Jura Pandushu Vrishnishu, that she was praying to Krishna that please break the bond of my attachment, the rope of attachment that I feel for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis on two sides, both her mother's side and father's side. She was related to families who were all great devotees. But still she was, on her father's side and her husband's side, she was related. But they were all great devotees and she was attached to them, and we're recommended to become attached to devotees. But she was feeling as if there is some kind of material tinge there, that I'm simply feeling attachment as bodily relation. Therefore she prayed to Krishna, please cut that tie of affection and let my affection only be for you. So both things are there. The householder, he should be not artificially try to be detached when he's entered into an ashram where attachment is required. But at the same time, he should understand that we're entering into family life for the sake of coming out the other side, unattached. And in the meantime, there is responsibility there to look after the wife, look after the children in Krishna consciousness, to contribute to the society while in family life. So every ashram has its own responsibilities and principles and the mentality that goes with it. Now the householder, he should go on hearing verses like this. He shouldn't, sometimes householders, they become uneasy when they hear this, because especially those who are new householders, there's that even among devotees we see that often when they first get married there's some kind of euphoria or phantasmagoria of happiness based on some material attraction. But one has to go on hearing Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, without rejecting that, without thinking that this is not for me. It is for everybody. Especially householders have to hear this and deliberate upon this and in this way gradually become detached from the illusion of thinking, I am this body, and this wife is this, the body of this spirit soul is my wife. So that when he becomes older and he's discharged his family responsibility, he can gradually become detached from that, again in a responsible way. Vanaprastha life means there are different stages. Gradually he becomes detached when the children are older, gradually turn the responsibility over to them, which is good for them also, that they can take responsibility for the family affairs. The eldest son generally becomes the head of the family when the father dies or renounces the home. So he gradually becomes detached by sometimes going away for pilgrimage and leaving the affairs in the eldest son's hands. And of course, when he becomes older, then he completely renounces sex life and gradually turns over the family affairs to the eldest son. Let me see about the sound. And concentrates more and more on hearing about Krishna and about the goal of life, so that he, when he takes the vow, now I will take sannyas, now I'm finished with it, that he can follow it successfully. So the Vanashram system, this is, many times Prabhupada said, this is very scientifically arranged, so that everybody, whatever their status is, whatever their position is, they can gradually make advancement towards the real goal of life, which is tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mamiti sorjuna, that on giving up the body, one is prepared to go back home, back to Godhead, not come back again to this material world. So how exactly to implement these instructions is about Varnashram. This is a great topic of discussion within our society, has been, is, and no doubt will be until it is successfully implemented, because the conditions in modern society are quite different from those of traditional Vedic society, and to set up a whole culture is it's a great job, especially when the culture that we are living in is absolutely against, totally contradictory to the present culture in which we live. And when we think about family life, the only model that we have is the model that is given by the modern society, which is basically one becomes married simply for sense enjoyment, that's all, with no sense of responsibility. If there was a sense of responsibility, then there wouldn't be divorce, but there is, rampant. So the whole concept that one marries for the sake of enjoying, but the Vedic concept is different. Putrarthe kriyate bharya. One takes a wife not primarily for the sake of enjoyment, but for the sake of producing a son. And son means putra, one who is trained up, competent enough to deliver the father. Otherwise, putra, mutra, putra means son, mutra means urine. They both come from the same place. They're both produced by the same organ. So it's a very, responsible act, which is in Vedic or in traditional Indian society, is very carefully entered into, overseen by the elders of the family. Not only is the wedding very carefully arranged, that son and daughter are chosen, there are so many different considerations according to age, caste, mentality, educational, to see that according to age and height and so many different considerations. So much astrological matching, of course. Then even after marriage, it's not that just they're okay, they go on a honeymoon and they're thrown together and somehow they have to work it out. But they live, of course, traditionally the young, they would be married so young before puberty. So the girl would continue to live with her father until she came of age. But even when coming of age, then the husband and wife would live, but within the broader extended family, under the guidance of elders. So they're not just thrown together and somehow or other they have to work out how to live together, but under the guidance at every step. That at least in Bengal, even till now, even if a man is married, he still has to act, not only in Bengal, all of India, in any traditional family, he still, as long as his father is alive, he has to act under the guidance of his father. Even he may be running a business with crores of rupees and so many things, but he's always under the guidance of elders. It's a very nice system, but how to set that up in modern society when we ourselves have not been trained in such a way, there's no such social system in place, the whole flow of modern society is going in a different direction. This requires very careful thought, commitment, and one thing very important, we have to be convinced that what the Shastra has given us and what Srila Prabhupada has taught us, this is for our benefit. If we had tried to adopt Western role models or modern ideas and read so many books about psychology and this and that, about how to adjust our family life, that will not be helpful in the same way as studying what is in Shastra, what is given to us by Prabhupada. It may very well be counterproductive too, because basically in modern society, the underlying philosophy is that kim anyat kama haitukam, what else is there but sex anyway? Sex is the basis of life. For the materialistic person, he has no higher God, he has no understanding of higher principles, therefore he must fall to the lower principle. And even though they will talk about affection and love and so many things, but they have no understanding of what these things actually mean, because their overriding principle is how to enjoy this material world, beginning with sex life. Therefore, we should hear the instructions given by Narad Muni and the Acharyas in his disciplic succession, and have faith that, as Srila Prabhupada said, that these books, they are the law books for the next 10,000 years. That means not only in philosophical matters, just like there was some controversy about, well, the fall of the jiva or non-fall of the jiva, but what is our, how are we to understand? We have to understand by what Srila Prabhupada has told us. So also how to live our life. From the very beginning of his mission of preaching in the West, Srila Prabhupada was teaching us how to live as human beings. We didn't know how to live as human beings. A very basic example, you go to Pastool and then smear it all over your backside with paper. This is the Western idea. And no question of taking baths, even for several days after that. So it all cakes. So even the very basic principles of human life were taught to us by Srila Prabhupada, what to speak of, how to wear dhotis and saris and put on tilak, and the ladies part their hair like this and tie it up at the back, and all these principles. We may think, well, these are not so important details, but they're all part of the Vedic culture. They all have their purpose. Just like, why should ladies cover their head and tie their hair at the back and not cut it unless their husband dies? The whole Vedic culture is designed by Krishna for the purpose of elevating us ultimately to the point of Krishna consciousness. The family life, the way it is described in the Vedic culture, that is meant for protection from rampant lusty desires. That is meant for protecting the husband, wife and the whole society from lampatya, debauchery. That, alright, so some attachment is there, we don't condemn that. Alright, get married. But that attraction, that should be centered on one person, not that you go here, there and everywhere. One day one girlfriend, next day another girlfriend. The regulation. And within family life, alright, you can enjoy. Some license for enjoyment is there. But to get the license, you have to sign a pact of responsibility also. And hear regularly within the family life, go on hearing about the proper goal of life. So that all these things are scientifically designed, they're given by Krishna so that we may become elevated to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. So we should have faith that what Prabhupada has given, that is the perfect direction for us. And it is, we have to see how to implement that. But this faith we should have, that in every sphere what Prabhupada has given us, that is dictated by Krishna. What is the traditional Vedic culture? How to adjust that to modern society? We have to see what Prabhupada has taught and implement that in our lives, and that will be perfect. Nothing else. Prabhupada has given everything we need to know how to live our lives in this world and ultimately become Krishna conscious. So as especially the senior members of the Krishna conscious movement who have to give guidance to others, we shall have to give guidance according to the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. And of course, we'll have to use our good intelligence how to implement that in modern society, and there may be different opinions about that. Devotees, they may discuss exactly how to implement that, but on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's books. Just like nowadays we go preaching and there are so many different philosophies we discuss, but previously in Vedic society, in Indian society, the discussion would have to be on the basis of Shastra. Even the ideological enemies, Mayavadis and Vaishnavas, they would discuss on the basis of Shastra only. Exactly what the Shastra, what is the purpose of the Shastra, that is the point of discussion. But that the discussion should be on the basis of the Vedas, that is accepted. That is why the Buddhists were rejected. Vedna maniya bodh haito nastik. Because the Buddhists did not accept the Vedas, therefore they were considered nastic, ungodly, atheists. They're not even fit to discuss with. So in the same way, among the followers of Srila Prabhupada, there may be differences of opinion, but our ultimate praman, or our ultimate evidence, must be that which is given by Srila Prabhupada, with the understanding that Srila Prabhupada was exactly told by Krishna what to write, every word. And every word is for the benefit of human society. These instructions on family life, we're wondering how we're working towards, how to implement that within our society. But we should remember that this is not only for our society of devotees, but this is a blueprint for the whole world. It's not just our families, but we have to, not only our families, not only our brahmacharis, not only our sannyasis, but the Krishna conscious movement is meant to show the world how to live in this world in a practical way according to occupation
and status of life. Show people how to live in this world in such a way that we can live very peacefully and happily in this life with ideal character and the highest knowledge, and gradually become detached from everything material and go back home, back to Godhead. So these instructions, ideal family life, we have to implement that within our own society to show the world this is how to live. This will be the best preaching. If we can show how people can live, you can live happily. You have wife, family, children, home, everything. You live very happily. Now all over the world, family life is very disturbed. So Krishna conscious mind is supposed to show how you can live very happily and peacefully in family life, and at the same time make advancement towards the highest goal. So that is practical also. I have some experience in Russia. Some people were writing to me, they're having so many problems in their family life. So I wrote to them and I gave some suggestion. You read this section of Bhagavatam, these verses, these purports, and take it to heart and implement it in your life, even though it's difficult for you, that the wife should be submissive to the husband, and in this way she can bring him under control for the better. Because this one lady was writing to me that my husband likes three of the principles, but not all of them. So this is the way to, Prabhupada has given the suggestion, this is the way, the wife, by pleasing her husband, serving him, then she can bring him under her control. Even in this, maybe in so many cases, the wife is more self-controlled or advanced than the husband. So she, by gradually being patient and serving him very sweetly and then winning his heart, then she can bring him to the higher principle. So I've seen in several cases that even people that just want to break their marriage, no, my husband's no good or my wife's no good, patience. Go on with the Krishna conscious principle. Breaking the marriage is the most drastic thing. Go on with the Krishna conscious principle and elevate. Try to elevate the other partner. Prabhupada did that throughout his whole life, practically. He was trying to bring his family members, and eventually they didn't want to come up. Then, when they're older, then he went out for vanaprastha and later some years. So anyway, I was just saying, in Russia, in one area, there are some people who now they're preaching that they're so much happy with the instructions in Prabhupada's books and how it's affected their life, that they are having very good effect in preaching to grihasthas or married people in that area that you should become Krishna conscious to improve your family life. That actually this is how we should be preaching. That people have so many problems in family life in the modern age because they don't know how to live as human beings. They have no idea. But we should give the direction that if you take to Krishna conscious, your family life will be very nice. You can live very peacefully at home, husband, wife, children. Very pure life, very happy life, and advance towards the proper goal. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? Oh. Right. So the question, I guess, is that I was saying that in traditional Indian families, Indian culture, Vedic culture, whatever you want to call it, Hindu culture, there is the broader family, so if there's problem between husband and wife or whatever, the broader family and the elders will help to solve it. It's not that there aren't any problems, that's utopia. There will be problems, but they can be worked out by the broader family. We don't have that in ISKCON, therefore every little problem is unto the guru and this and that. So so I'm saying that these are things, it's a great challenge to our society to implement this culture when we don't have it at all. That in the absence of the suggestion here that I'm giving you an answer to this is that in the absence of extended family networks, that older grihasthas, they help younger grihasthas. Generally, it's difficult to understand. What do you think? Here's a fairly newly married grihastha. They need a lot of help. Even to change ashram, it's a great adjustment. It's a completely different role. And it's changing from any ashram, from brahmacharya to sannyas, and big shock all of a sudden. People are... Whenever you see people, you look at them and all of a sudden you don't see them, they're down there. So how do you adjust to that? So the older grihasthas, and that is beginning to happen in our society, we do have older grihasthas, so I would suggest that new grihasthas, they, even before entering into marriage, they start to take guidance from older grihasthas and maybe one or two, and who they can confide in, because there will be so many problems. So everyone needs help. Better to take it from those who have been through those problems and experienced them, so they can help you. Hare Krishna.